Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 16, Number 6. In the last edition of Clinical Review, my topic was melatonin, brain bio antioxidant. Melatonin is formed inside the pineal gland and plays an important role in circadian rhythms. It is produced from the neurotransmitter serotonin, which is derived from the essential amino acid tryptophan. Melatonin is released into the bloodstream in the absence of light. High levels are secreted during the nighttime with a peak around 1 to 4 a.m. Melatonin is both water and lipid soluble, which allows it to protect all parts of the cell by virtue of its powerful antioxidant properties. This is its connection to the brain as a significant anti-aging antioxidant. Melatonin synchronizes the entire hormone cascade from within the brain, strongly influencing the release and interaction of several other hormones. By age 70, the body yield of melatonin is about 90% less than that of a 10-year-old. This is why taking the supplement to compensate for age makes sense and why for so many adults it is extremely beneficial as a sleep aid. Melatonin stimulates the body's production of brown adipose tissue that converts calories into heat, thereby increasing metabolism. It also helps to reset the body's internal clock, and together with the thymus gland, it increases T-cell antibody production, which protects against a variety of diseases. Melatonin counters some of the effects of cortisol by causing the release of vasopressin, a cortisol antagonist. In this regard, melatonin may be utilized as an effective anti-catabolic, which helps defend hard-earned muscle tissue from potential breakdown. Melatonin is a safe and highly practical dietary supplement. Give it a shot if you're having trouble sleeping or relaxing or challenged with anxiety, or maybe you're a hard gainer and can't seem to gain muscle in spite of routine, heavy physical training. And even if you sleep well, take it anyway. It's a great anti-aging, circadian, harmonizing agent. Melatonin is very safe and effective. My topic on this edition of Clinical Review is human growth hormone, considered by some to be the fountain of youth Ponce de Leon hoped for, by others a substance used by injection in the hapless and misguided attempt to minimize, retard, or even reverse the effects of aging. Human growth hormone, also known as HGH or simply GH, is released from the anterior pituitary gland. It is also made in small amounts by selective reproductive, immune, and nerve cells. For years, the pituitary was known as the master gland, but newer research now acknowledges the hypothalamus as the master of the pituitary and the pineal gland as the master controller. Growth hormone, one of several pituitary hormones, is a complex protein consisting of 191 amino acids. It is not a steroid, such as estrogen or testosterone. It is not manufactured from cholesterol. It's a different kind, a different type of hormone. GH stimulates growth in virtually all body tissues, including bone, muscle, and organs. Unlike many other hormones, GH has no single target gland, having a somewhat universal effect throughout the body. This is why if you take it and you got some bad stuff going on inside of you, it will make that grow also. It's non-specific. GH is especially active during childhood and puberty, but is followed by a sharp reduction in most adults. Observation of this decline is based on representative samples of Western populations, the vast majority of whom are overweight, deconditioned, and sedentary. On average, GH production declines by 14% with each passing decade in so-called normal adults after 20 years of age. It goes down, down, down. However, an age-related reduction in growth hormone is not inevitable, at least not to the degree observed in North American adults, and is most likely a function of several variables, including oxidative damage to the brain, nutrient deficiencies, and mostly inactivity. The age-related decline in growth hormone production, known as somatopause, has been compared to the age-related decline in estrogen and progesterone experienced in women during menopause, and a similar decline in DHEA and testosterone in men known as andropause. GH release is cyclical and occurs mainly in bursts, with the largest increase occurring shortly after falling asleep. Normal secretion occurs in a diurnal rhythm. Each pulse or wave lasts for about 22 to 45 minutes and secretes about 45 micrograms per burst. Deep sleep provides a stimulus for growth hormone release during stages 3 and 4 of non-REM sleep. So do low levels of blood glucose. GH is also stimulated through intense exercise due to increased activity of the sympathetic autonomic nervous system, and elevates during short periods of fasting. Long periods of fasting, however, are catabolic. Fasting long-term leads to a decrease in growth hormone output and a subsequent loss of lean tissue mass. Growth hormone-releasing hormone initiates the release of growth hormone when sugar levels in the blood decrease, whereas growth hormone-inhibiting hormone acts as a deterrent as sugar levels rise to normal. So the sugar growth hormone relationship is very important to understand. Other factors that inhibit growth hormone release include elevated blood levels of fatty acids, decreased levels of amino acids, excess body fat, thyroid hormone deficiency, REM sleep, insomnia, and hyperglycemic responses, that's high blood sugar, caused by eating sweets and high glycemic snacks prior to bedtime. Plasma IGF-1 is measured as an indirect indicator of growth hormone status. Normal values of plasma IGF-1 typically decline with advancing age. It takes about 20 micrograms per kilogram per day of injectable growth hormone to increase IGF-1 concentrations from a low normal baseline in older adults to that of younger normal adults. Growth hormone increases protein synthesis and enhances fatty acid catabolism. This is one of the reasons why volunteers who receive growth hormone by injection often experience a decrease in body fat and an increase in lean mass. Other benefits reported in the scientific literature include improved physical strength, reduced fatigue, revitalization of organs, improved sexual function, reduced cholesterol, and improved rates of wound healing. On the other hand, because there's always another side to the coin, adverse side effects found after 6 months to 1 year after injecting recombinant human growth hormone at concentrations of 0.15 milligrams per day to 5.0 milligrams per day. These symptoms include neuropathy, peripheral edema, back pain, diabetic angiopathy, carpal tunnel syndrome, allergic reaction, insulin resistance, acne, anorexia, acute pancreatitis, headaches, myalgia, anemia, and joint disorders. Natural GH produced by the body is highly anabolic and stimulates fat catabolism. It's connected and involved with beta oxidation. Upon release and for several hours after, cells shift from oxidizing sugar to produce ATP to burning stored fat, the release and breakdown of which is also initiated by growth hormone. GH then commands other cells to burn this energy as fuel. This spares blood glucose for use by muscle and helps replenish glycogen levels, which speeds up the recovery process. Growth hormone also causes cells to grow and multiply by increasing the rate of amino acid entry into the cell, as well as the rate they are used to synthesize protein strands. Intercellular protein synthesis is increased by upregulation of RNA translation and DNA transcription. GH is a powerful anabolic agent that increases muscle mass and strength, speeds recovery, and allows athletes to train harder and longer. So you can see the attraction. The cost is around $1,800 US for 500 international units, which is also IU, international units, IU. Common dosage by injection is about 5 IU per day, which is equivalent to about 1.7 milligrams. Growth hormone is essential to the health and strength of the immune system, as leukocytes, interferon, and complement proteins depend on secondary hormones activated by GH release. GH is an insulin antagonist and is known to elevate blood sugar. As mentioned previously, low blood sugar levels stimulate growth hormone release. This is why many athletes flood their bloodstream with a protein shake or meal dominated by high-quality amino acids and low or nil in low glycemic carbs before bedtime. So you can amplify the effects of growth hormone through diet. Not directly, but indirectly, and that's this connection to insulin and glucose and the brain. GH increases in response to intense exercise and single doses of specific amino acids taken prior to normal GH secretion may amplify this effect. So if you take certain amino acids before you work out or before you fast or before you go to bed, you can amplify the release. You can increase it or increase the amount released. These include glutamine, arginine, ornithine, tryptophan, leucine, and glycine. One study found that when males aged 15 to 20 ingested 1.2 grams each of arginine and lysine, their growth hormone levels increased significantly after 30 minutes. So these are young people that are releasing more than us older folk, and they're kind of maxed out, and even they got an increase by manipulating diet. A single 2-gram dose of glutamine dissolved in soda also elevated growth hormone significantly 30 to 60 minutes after administration. By the way, walking and low-intensity movement registers no significant increase in plasma levels of growth hormone, although such activity provides many other benefits. Resistance or weight training, that's the key, and especially heavy compound exercises such as the squat or deadlift, will cause growth hormone levels to increase within 3 minutes of training. How much growth hormone is released depends on how hard you train. Intense weight training causes the muscles to produce lactic acid as a byproduct of anaerobic metabolism. So this next bit is going to give you some insight as to how to know whether or not you're getting any GH release. It's kind of like a guide. Pushing and pulling weights to the point of near failure or absolute failure causes high levels of lactic acid and pyruvic acid to form, which drives muscle and blood pH down into the acid zone. Okay, everyone out there, if you've sprinted, if you've driven hard, like in the gym and pushed it and pumped, and you get that burning sensation, okay, that's really important to connect with mentally and intellectually. Although such alterations in blood pH eventually cause the shutdown of the very enzyme systems essential to the contraction of muscle and the production of energy, there is evidence that growth hormone release is respondent to the buildup of hydrogen ions, the acid part of lactic acid, concurrent to this form of training. So in other words, greater quantities of lactic acid are associated with higher blood levels of GH. So the adage, no pain, no gain, is true, as pain in this case reflects the discomfort and that burning sensation in the muscle experienced as lactic acid builds up, which then leads to greater releases of growth hormone. So you can't feel growth hormone in your blood, but you can feel that burning sensation, and the greater the burn, the greater the release of growth hormone. And so that's when you know you're doing a good job. After 15 to 20 minutes into the workout, growth hormone will begin to decrease and return to normal pre-exercise levels within 60 to 90 minutes after peaking. Maximizing growth hormone release is best achieved by training harder in less time, as growth hormone is released in bursts. Short, brief, and multiple workouts performed in the hyper-intensity zone should conclude within 30 to 60 minutes of commencement if growth, strength, and muscular size are primary objectives. Growth hormone is greatly increased approximately 15 minutes post-exercise, but is quickly inhibited by a high glycemic carb mix in the absence of protein. Now, this is a paradox because when glycogen levels are low, when glucose is low, the goal then would be to, based on research, is to flood the blood with high glycemic carbs. But there's a connection between the interruption of growth hormone release. So this is why the timing, what I do is at the gym after a really good workout, I'll take a protein shake in water with no carbs. Now we're talking whey isolate, ribose, glutamine, and creatine. And I'll pound that back with water. And by the time I get home, after walking back and doing some shopping, maybe 30 minutes has gone by. And then I prepare a nice meal, a salad with some protein. And I think that's a good way. At least it works that way for me. So you got to figure this out, work it into your lifestyle. Intensity of training is always a factor of achievement, regardless of the sport or activity. Degree of intensity will vary from one individual to the next, as our personal ability to push ourselves onward to higher levels of development is highly relative to the intangible components of human motivation and desire. Training hard is not always fun, but it's definitely more productive. So put your mind in your muscle and your muscle in your mind. Your growth hormone potential is simply a matter of release. So, as the Greeks say, release the Kraken. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Italian film actress Sophia Loren. There is a fountain of youth. It is your mind, your talents, the creativity you bring to your life and the lives of people you love. When you learn to tap this source, you will truly have defeated age.